Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know how much you really need the Lord in your life. I know it's mentally accepted that we need Him, but I don't know if you've ever been deep enough in the valley to really understand how precious and priceless it is to have Jesus promise to never leave you and never forsake you. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he addressed those deep, dark places that life can bring us to. And he said, "In the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil because thou art with me." Can you say amen? This is an incredible, important concept to grasp, not mentally, but in our hearts, yes. To get it in our hearts and to personalize it today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We serve a gracious and a good amen. God today that loves us with all of His heart, enough to give us His Son. Amen. And the Bible didn't say, if you go through fire, you know, you may find me there. He said, when you go through the fire, it won't be kindled on you. When you go through the floods, they will not overflow thee, because I am with you. The promise that turned cowards into courageous men who would die for their Savior, amen, was the promise, not that there would never be any problems because they trust in Christ, but because of His abiding presence with them. He said, "And go and preach the gospel to every creature in the face of possible death." In the face, in Peter's case, of certain death, he told him what was going to happen to him. Amen. Signifying the death that he would glorify Christ. And Peter courageously went forward without even a skip once he really fell in love with the Lord. But there was a promise that Jesus gave them in that upper room when he appeared after the resurrection. You know what it was? "And lo, I am with you always." Can you say amen? When you go through the fire, it won't kindle on you. Amen. Because I am with you. When you go through the waters, they will not overflow you, because I am with you. What changed cowards to courageous martyrs and preachers was the fact that he said, "I am with you." Can you say amen? And to me, that meant more than a mental concept accepted by them. It meant that because he was going to the Father and going to send us another comforter. And you know what the word comforter means? It is paraclete, but it means one like himself. One who would do what? Who would manifest him spiritually to us. If there was not a manifest presence, a mental concept of God, and accepted by pure faith with nothing else, to evidence His presence. And you're scheduled for death in the morning. You're sitting there saying, "Well, I got my theology right. Amen. I got the correct theology. I'm well prepared for this. I got the correct..." Correct theology doesn't give you everything you need. Amen. There is a God who can manifest Himself to you. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, those when they were taking him to high cliffs, in one of the eyewitness accounts, to throw them off that cliff to their death, as they led them up to the high place to throw them down to be crushed to death. You know, the person who observed this said, "Their faces shined as the faces of angels." Can you say amen? What was that talking about? God's glory, God's presence actually came on them during that process. "And lo, I am with you." Have you ever been in the presence of God that if someone pointed a gun at your head and said, "Deny Jesus," you'd say, "Bring it on. I won't deny Him." Amen. Because you're in what? The presence of the Lord. You may sit at home not sensing the presence of God and say, "Boy, I hope I could stand up. I don't know. It would be tough." But see, in the presence of God, everything changes, doesn't it? In His presence is what? Fullness of right theology. No, fullness of joy. "And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now, we as Pentecostals take a bad rap because there's a lot of people go to extremes. A lot of people, they think worship is a get-me-blessed club. Amen. It is all about us in some worship services. We have a consumer attitude toward worship. Make me feel good. Lift me up. It's all about me. There's me in all of that. I mean, true worship is about Him. But the wonderful thing about true worship is if you truly worship Him, He will manifest Himself to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we get lifted up when we lift Him up and praise His name this morning. Praise the Lord. There is a manifest presence of God We don't see Him visibly, but He is here. Yes. And we know He's there. Praise God. I believe He was with Paul in that prison cell. Amen. I believe He was with Peter when they took him out to nail him to a cross and invert it and drop him into the ground. Amen. Drop it into the ground with him on it. I believe He was there. I know He was with the three Hebrew children in the fire. I believe that was Jesus in there. Even the king said, hey, this guy's different. There's a fourth man in here with them. Can you say amen? And you know something? With that fourth man in there, whether he delivered them from it by taking them through it unscathed or whether they were consumed with his presence right with them, they said it before they went in. They said whether he delivers. Our God, which we serve, is able to deliver us from you, O King. He's the sovereign God of the universe. Even though you've decreed, and here is the furnace looking us in the face, and there's armed men ready to cast us in, and we have no way of delivering ourselves, we want you to know something. We're going on record of two great things. Number one, our God that we serve is the true and living God. He is able to deliver us from your hand, O King. But here's the second thing they said. But whether he chooses to or whether we seal our testimony with our life's blood, whether he does or whether he does not today, he's able and he's almighty and all powerful. But whether he does or whether he does not, we will not bow to any other God but him. Can you say amen? So they cast him in there. But there was another man waiting for them in the fire. See, in every fiery trial, think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you is some strange thing. Isn't it something? It's human nature. Every time we go through it, because we see all these people that supposedly walk in victory and subdue all the circumstances and calm all their stormy seas with their hyper faith, and we think something strange must be happening to us, because it don't happen to other Christians. Only us go through trials. Can you say amen? Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you, something unique that doesn't happen to other people in this fallen world, saith the Spirit. But know that the presence of God is available to strengthen you and give you courage and bring you through to certain victory, saith the Spirit of God. Therefore, brace up and stand up and be strong in the presence of the contrary winds, for I am with thee. And who shall conquer thee as long as I uphold thee, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I want us to join hands this morning and pray. God is with us in this room. And I want to say to Alice, last week I used her as an illustration of looking hard at me. She's never looked hard at me. She's one of my greatest encouragers. And I hope she understands when I'm playing and when I'm not. Amen. We love each other. And I thought about Alice. I thought Alice may think that she was making a face and I was, and she wasn't. Praise God. Her face is smiling at me on Sunday morning and amen in the message. She promotes this ministry every chance she gets. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I appreciate her with all of my heart. I look for her smiling face. If you ever see me looking at Alice, it's because y'all are frowning at me. And I know Alice will give me a nod of the head or a smile. Praise God. So if you see me really preaching to Alice, y'all get your game face on. Praise God. It's Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Aren't you glad He's with us today? Lo, I'm with you always is what changed them. Not even the resurrection changed them. Okay, he's alive. But you know, Jesus knew in a few days, he's going to be caught up into heaven. Now what? Now what? They saw what they did to him and they would love to do it to them. Now what? Now where's your courage going to come from? It came from a promise made in the upper room. I am with you always. Amen. I'm going away, but I'm going to pray the Father and he will send you another comforter and he shall be with you and he shall be in you and he shall abide with you forever. And literally he said, I will come back to you. Amen. Jesus used the term, I will. He's not talking about the second coming or the rapture. He was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit who would manifest His character, His nature, His very presence in our life. Can you say amen? Paul had somebody with him in that prison cell awaiting execution the next morning. Somebody walked with him. Oh, you didn't hear me, church. Somebody that said, I'll never leave you, walked with him. How do you know? Because he said it. And the Holy Spirit came to make it real and manifest. Can you say amen? If you're satisfied with a church service that has absolutely... I know people that go to church that have 100% right maybe theology, but they don't have the manifest presence of God. And you can tell it because their joy level always runs at a very low. They look so serious all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to be serious about things. But you need, amen, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. If you've got the correct theology without the manifest presence of God, you don't rejoice all the time. You don't look like that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the joy of the Lord isn't your strength, because the joy of the Lord includes in the New Testament His manifest presence. In His what? His fullness of joy? He's here today. But if you don't know how to enter into the presence of God, it won't do you any good that He's here today. It'll be correct theology, but it won't change you. Can you say amen? It won't pull you out of that pit. It won't get you into your shouting shoes or dancing shoes this morning. Can you say amen? You may be able to recite the Bible better than I can, honey, but it ain't about how much scripture you know. It's about who you know. Can you say amen? It's about who you know. Paul said, I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded because of what? That knowledge of Him, that He, it's all about Him. Say it's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. And that He is able to keep what I commit unto Him against that day. I'm fully persuaded because of the one I know. Hallelujah. That's not just correct theology. That's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I can tell the people, I can tell you right now who spent time in the presence of God this week. Amen. It ain't about how many scriptures you know and your correct theology. It's about, are you walking with God? Enoch walked with God. And we can too. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you say amen today? Hallelujah. If God don't show up at some point in this servant in a way that you can sense His presence, amen, I guarantee you, you're not going to be changed. As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. You are becoming what you're beholding. Say it with me, you're becoming what you're beholding. Oh, well, the Word of God is going to change me. Not unless it shows you Him and that you begin to pursue Him in such a way that He can manifest Himself to you. You get in the presence of God, your heart will melt today. Amen. All your grudges will go in His presence. Amen. You get in the presence of the sweet Nazarene, and I'm telling you, I didn't say tangerine like some of you. I'm talking about Nazarene. You get in His presence today, and I guarantee you all of the unforgiveness will go right out of you. Amen. There's no room for it in His presence. Can you say? The only thing there's room for in His presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Of that relationship. Amen. That's why I am not of the persuasion of some churches that you keep all of that suppressed. We welcome the presence of God here. We desire the presence of God here. Amen. The presence of God literally is absolutely essential to victory. I believe that. I've never seen someone that didn't experience the presence of God in their life. That's what turned D.L. Moody's ministry into something so mighty it touched a whole generation. He never even had minister's credentials. He was never ordained as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet tens of thousands came to Christ through His ministry. And tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands have come because of Moody Bible Institute and the missionaries they send to the four corners of the earth, many of whom on a wall of that institute names are inscribed because they gave their life and paid the ultimate sacrifice to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But D.L. Moody was just about done for when what he was building burned to the ground in the great Chicago fire. And they came to D.L. Moody and they told him, what you need to do is churches go out and raise money to begin to rebuild because of this devastation. And he said, I am not a fundraiser. I can't go out and raise money. I am called to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he locked himself away with God. And this is what he described. He said, and the hand of the Lord came upon me. So heavy and mighty was that presence that I asked him, amen, to back off, literally. Amen. Because I was afraid I couldn't take it. It was so mighty. And after that, he preached the same messages of salvation. But something was added to the preaching that wasn't there before. There was a dimension and a dynamic added to the same preacher with the same message that began to impact people. And it was said that he told people like Zacchaeus, some of his meetings were outdoors, and not just because they were short, but because of the crowd, they would climb up in trees to look over the crowd and watch him preach. And he told them, get out of the trees. Don't be up there, because people were falling under the power of God while he preached. And he was anything but Pentecostal. This is not about Pentecostalism or charismania, as some people call it. You know what this is about? The manifest presence of God. The Holy Spirit manifesting Jesus. Can you say amen? I said the Holy Spirit manifesting Jesus. Actually, the second coming is going to be the third coming, if you want to get theologically correct. Amen? Jesus said, I'm going to come back to you when the Holy Spirit comes. Are you there? Are you there? You say, Jesus in the house. Let's shout. Let's draw. Listen, Jesus is here. Two or more in my name. Where is he? Here he is. Is he going to do you any good if you don't know how to enter into his presence? Not a bit in the world. How's that going to help you? You don't even... Is it just because you accept that in your mind? I see people mouthing that and giving mental assent to it. But I know that if you don't enter into his presence this morning, if you don't lay aside all that junk that's cluttered your life and be able to enter into his presence. Listen, I'm going to tell you something straight up. If you can't enter into his presence so he can help you, this poor preacher is really handicapped. All you're going to get is my run over when I get real excited. And I'm real excited. Amen. And excitable. And my run over is not what you need. Can you say amen?
No.
My runover won't keep you. Amen? How many know my runover, my spillover? Amen? Me getting stirred and that touching a chord in you is not what you need. You need to be able to enter into the presence of God. Amen? On the way to work the other day, I just put in a disc and it began to play, and I just entered into the presence of the Lord. Didn't want to get out of my truck. Sat in the parking lot, watched my watch, let the motor run. Amen? And just left the air on and just let it keep playing. And I just sit there and thought, boy, Lord, I hate to leave this. This is so sweet and wonderful and good. This is everything I need to get through this hard day. This is everything I need to get through any obstacle, any trouble. I am in your presence. Can you say amen? In your presence, that's where I belong. Remember when you sing that song? In his presence, that's where I belong. In his presence, oh Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I am strong. Seeking your face, finding your grace. Cleft of the rock, in your presence. I'm not being critical. I'm telling you, every church that suppresses the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't mean has it in decency and order. I'm talking about actually suppresses that. Good theology, but suppressing that, there is no presence of God. It's all mentally accepted. It's all given mental assent to. But no one is experiencing the presence of God. And Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you orphaned. I'm not going to heaven where everything is taken by pure faith and there's no presence of God. I'm coming back to you. When he comes, he's going to testify of me. He's going to tell you that I'm right here and manifest me to you. So when Paul was in prison, he was not alone. Just like the three Hebrew children were not alone in that fire. And I'm going to tell you something. In your fiery trial, you are not alone. But you got to get a Christ-focused faith. Can you? Everybody say a Christ-focused faith, not a promise-focused faith, but a person-focused faith. Can you say amen? We've got to see him in that fire. We've got to sense Him in that fire with us so that we don't fear the fire. We've got to see Him in that flood. We've got to sense Him in that flood to keep from being overwhelmed by it. Can you say amen? The New Testament offers us the manifest presence of God, not contained behind the veil, amen, but liberally, lavishly given to us in our hearts and lives. And if you're not practicing the presence of God all week long, and you're so cluttered right now that you can't enter into it this morning or sense Him, then it's up to me. And what in the world am I going to be able to do about these things that only God can address? Amen. All I can be is a Holy Ghost cheerleader. Try to cheer you up for a little bit. But you're going to walk right out that door. Amen. And many people, amen, are going to pick those burdens up and pack them right back to the house and live with them all week long. And God wants you to lay it down here and lay it down now. Can you say amen? I pray that in some point in this service that people will begin to enter in to the presence of God. Because I know the Holy Spirit is here, and I know Jesus Christ is here, and I know He wants to manifest Himself to you and to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you miss that, you're going to walk around with that old sour face telling people how wonderful Jesus is and how much they need Him. And your theology is 100% correct. But there are people that can't hardly quote Scripture. Don't even know the Roman road to take them down to salvation. But they have the joy of the Lord in their life. They have the peace of God reigning in their soul. And people see it. Can you say amen? And they want to talk to them. And they listen to what they have to say. Can you say amen? The church needs the manifest presence of God. We need the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? To strengthen us today. Glory be to God. Without it, we're cowardly. We back off. We're looking for a place to hide. And a church that's got that attitude of just hide me from my trouble. Just hide me away somewhere. That's not how we touch the world. That's not how we represent Him. Can you say amen? We want to be bold Christians. Praise God. Will you join hands? I preached a mini sermon and we'll finish the rest of it wherever God wants us to go today. Praise God. We love you today. We're glad that you're here. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. That was pretty weak. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'll give you two chances if it don't get better. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad.
Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, that sounds so much. I want to do it again, not because you need to do it again, because that sounded so good to God. I believe He enjoys it when we boldly proclaim that this is, who's in charge of this universe anyway? Who's watching over your life? Who promised to uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness? Can you say amen? That, you know what uphold means? You know, it doesn't mean to put His arm around you and the two of you to kind of limp along together. You know, you're limping, but He's sustaining you. No, it ain't about your limping. Your limping means you've got a little bit of strength that you're using to get along. I got my old dog up this morning, and my wife, we get her up. She's hard to get up and hard to get out because she loves to lay on the rug in the air conditioning. Amen. We're getting her up. We're getting her out. And my wife, she hates cameras. She thinks somebody's shooting lightning beams at her. Oh, she's afraid of a camera. And now you don't even have to. My wife used to have to go get the camera and she would get up. But now all we have to do is say the word. Just speak the word only. And she'll be filled with fear. Oh, you do that. Yeah, you act like you got it. It's the invisible camera. Amen. And you say, Sophie, we got a camera. And she gets up. She gets up. Oh, my Lord, a camera. But the back leg is about, some of you know what this, your hind legs may be getting that way early in the morning. And this back leg don't work. And so she's like a tripod. She walks and like that out. Amen. And you know, when we see uphold, we see ourselves limping like that poor old dog. Barely enough strength to move, but Jesus has got His arm around us and He's upholding us. No, because that limpy part of you is the strength that you are still depending on. Amen. Uphold doesn't mean that. The Greek word, the Hebrew word for uphold, would you like to know what it means? It means to pick one up from the earth, to literally carry them where their strength is not an issue at all. Jesus don't want to add His strength to your weakness and call you strong. Because that part of you still dependent on you is still the vulnerable part of you. But when He picks you up, Can you say amen? Then it's all Jesus. And every victory that you achieve, you're well aware. It's not even my limping that's getting this done, sustained by the Lord. He has lifted me up. He is carrying me. That thou shalt be borne upon eagle's wings, he says to Israel. Can you say amen? Not your strength, not some of your strength, not 99% my strength and 1% your strength, but borne on eagle's wings doesn't mean they get wings. It means he swoops under them and he lifts them up. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Actually, God is not teaching you to fly. God is not teaching you to fly so you can be independent from Him. The message of mounting up is, amen, that if you're born on eagle's wings, then whose wings are sustaining you? The eagle's wing. Can you say amen? Thou shalt be born to national Israel on eagle's wings. Thou shalt mount up with wings as eagles. When we see that, we forget the other scripture saying, He's the one. He's the strength of my life. Can you say amen? All we see is us growing wings and becoming where we can fly like the eagle. No, you can't fly. All you can do is flounder. Amen? Apart from Him, what can you do? Everybody say zero.
Zero.
Nada. Nothing. Not a thing. Amen? But through Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's join hands. I just want to see victory in God's people. I want to live in victory. Hallelujah. I want to represent this great King as a mighty King. I want to enjoy His presence more. I want to worry less. I want to quit trying to figure everything out. Can you say amen? I want to enjoy the ride on the eagle's wings. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank You today. We love You today. We thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your tenderness, Your patience with us. We thank You for Your great grace, Father. We thank You for Your intent to bless us today. And we give You the praise and the honor for it right now. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming this morning. It's a great day to be in God's house. It's a great day to be a worshiper of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a great day to know that you know that you know that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good to us today, and He's been good to my family, and part of that is through you. In fact, much of that is through you, and we're very, very grateful to you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. There's always most of the work of God, if not the majority of the work of God, is carried on by faithful people. We have such people in this room today. And I'm grateful so much to you. And not only faithful people, but it's always the faithful few that seem to shoulder the load, make the necessary commitments so that we can continue. And we're grateful to the few that do that, because you have done wonderful things just simply because the few have been so incredibly faithful. And we, again, are very, very grateful to you for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles today, we are in a study. In fact, I don't even know if I can go there the way. In fact, I can't go there. Praise God. Well, we were trying to go there. We're going to, maybe tonight, we will continue the message of the rewards and the crowns that await us and the incentive that it gives us to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord. Maybe we better finish another sermon this morning, because the Lord is talking to us in a way that I didn't prearrange. Sometimes when I get here, everything changes. And it changes, God determines that by what we need at the given moment. And we need the presence of God in our life. We need to be able to enter into the presence of God in our life. And we need to understand the presence of God is not carried by the anointing of the preacher. I do not have God in my back pocket. Amen. If I did, I would pull Him out every time I needed Him, but I couldn't share Him with you. Amen? Some people tend to think the presence of God is only manifest because a particular minister with a particular peculiar anointing comes to town. And ministers seem to kind of almost imply that, amen, that if you get under this particular ministry, then you'll be able to get in contact with God. But just gathering together in Jesus' name is not enough. You have to have that anointed personality there for that to happen. Well, I believe that is a great disservice to what the Bible teaches. And I believe God wants Christians to be able to enter into His presence, not only collectively and corporately when we come together, but I believe He wants you to do it on an individual and personal basis. Can you say amen? I really believe God invites you into His presence, and He wants you to begin to enjoy that presence. You can't go all week long without focusing on Jesus and saying, Sunday is going to be my spiritual fix. You can't get fixed enough in a Sunday morning service for all you've been through all week long. Can you say amen? You just can't get fixed enough. You need Jesus every single day. And you need to walk with Him and talk with Him. You need some quality time with Him. And you may have to carve it out of your drive to work or your drive home from work. But spend it with Him. Don't spend it with the news and don't spend it with the pop music channel. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a love song. Song of Solomon is a love song. Can you say amen? Oh, pardon me. Song of Solomon. I want you to say that again. Song of Solomon. First, it's a song, isn't it? And it's a love song. And everybody say it's a mushy one. Mushy. Amen. So, it's a love. There's nothing wrong with a love song. But I'm telling you something. Amen. You have a spiritual dimension to your life, and the love song is just going to touch you emotionally. God wants to touch you deeper than just your emotion, because how many know your emotions are like a roller coaster ride? Mine are too. By the way, emotions are born out of your own flesh nature, and emotions just go up and down. They're like with the changing circumstances. Amen. Good things are going to make you glad. Bad things are going to make you sad. That's your emotional person. You can't escape from that. Amen. Fear is something you cannot escape. Fearless doesn't mean you're never fearful. It means you trust the Lord when the fear comes and you manage that fear. There's no such thing as being fearless. Thank you for the hearty amens. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Jesus kept telling us, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Amen. But He wasn't talking about being never. Listen, if you've got a child that just got hit by a car at school, car backed out over your child and they're in the emergency room, if you don't feel fear for them, you're not a human being. You're divorced from your emotions. You're in terrible shape. You need to get checked out. Can you say amen? Of course you're going to be concerned. What are you going to do on the way to the emergency room not knowing the outcome? You're going to cry out to God. And that's when His peace is going to come. And that's what He meant. Don't let fear drive you. Don't let fear imprison you. Don't let fear just be the dominant thing in your life. Amen. What time I'm afraid, David said, I will trust in Thee. That's how I deal with fear. Amen. So there's no place of hyper faith where we fear nothing in the sense of circumstances that can happen. There is a place in faith where every time a problem arises and pressure comes and fearful things loom, we run to the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Why did the righteous run so quickly to it? Because fear has come, and we know the place of safety is in Him and our trust in Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God never divorces us from that. Well, this idea of just coming to church and or going to a revival, I've seen, you know, it's not what happens during the meetings in revivals. It's what happens after it's over that tells you what God really achieved and what God was really in. Anything that came as an overflow from a man or woman's anointing is not true revival. True revival begins to affect people on a personal level. Amen. And it doesn't stop. You know, a person may, God may use a person to initiate that revival, but that person is never necessary to sustain it, because a true revival is something born of the Holy Spirit Himself. Can you say amen? And true revival takes place when people like you and like me, begin to move into the presence of God, get our lives cleaned up, get all the clutter out of our lives and begin to seek Him. The Bible said we seek Him till He come and reign righteousness. Someone may come with an anointing and a message that will inspire you to seek Him. But nothing can take the place of you and me seeking Him. Can you say amen? Seek the Lord till He come and do what? Rain righteousness upon you. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after what? After a touch, after something to make you feel a little better, like emotional stimulation. No, that hunger and thirst for, listen to this, righteousness. The road to being truly filled is to hunger to be truly right with God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after a sensation. No, righteousness will bring that other stuff. Amen? Getting right with God. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We're seeking Him till He come and rain righteousness on us, till we get thoroughly right with Him and He manifests His presence to us. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. So many people are pursuing a sensation. And the thing is, it isn't life-changing. Not in the long term. There's a short high. There were some people at work went to a particular revival. And they were so excited for a week. For a week, the excitement level was way up here. Well, now it's way past that. And guess what? It's everything is back to normal. It's business as usual because we're not seeking Him for righteousness. We got what we wanted. We got the sensation during the meeting. We got a touch during the meeting. But we didn't seek righteousness. Amen? Amen? Because we don't seek to be thoroughly right with Him, guess what? We don't ever get thoroughly right with Him. And if we're not thoroughly right with Him, there's always a tension between us and Him until we do. I mean, no, if you're not thoroughly right with God this morning, you can't enter into His presence in freedom and joy. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart and it hasn't been dealt with, and a lot of services just talk about the Spirit and the manifestations and don't talk about righteousness. God requires us to live a life, amen, that represents His kingdom. God wants us to be thoroughly right with Him, and in order to do that, we've got to be thoroughly right with each other. Amen. If you don't forgive men, the Father won't forgive you. You can't be right with God without being right with your brother and sister, your family members, and the people you work with. Amen. Wow, it's quiet in here. You get hungry for righteousness and say, Lord, I want to get this right. I want to get it right. I'm serious about this. I want to get it right. Can you say amen? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be what? God will take care of the rest. He said, you just get right with me. You don't have to worry about what you eat, what you drink, wherewith you should be clothed. The Father knows everything that you truly need. Amen. And if you get this right, you get the kingdom. What is the kingdom? You want to get right with God, make Jesus the true Lord of your life. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. Say it with me, righteousness. Righteousness. Don't even think about joy in the Holy Ghost without righteousness. Yeah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Somebody give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he found what? Grace and mercy in the eyes of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For the grace of God that has appeared to us, amen, has done it for the reason that we might live righteously and godly in this present evil world. That's what grace was given for, so that we could actually move into that area of righteousness before the Lord. Righteousness is not sinless perfection. Sinless perfection is not a biblical concept. No one has ever achieved it but Jesus Christ. And no one has ever achieved it before Him or after Him. And anyone that does, that's a terrible imperfection to say that you are sinlessly perfect. Sinlessly perfect people don't need a Savior. Sinlessly perfect people do not need the blood of Jesus Christ. Sinlessly perfect people, amen, say, I have no sin. And 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, We lie and do not the truth, but if we confess our... That's what makes you right with God. Come on, if we can... Oh, you didn't hear me. If we confess our sin. That's people who want to be right with God that do that. Yeah. Can you say, man? That's people seeking righteousness. If we confess our sin, what happens? He's faithful and He's justified because He's forgiven us on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus, who took our punishment and took our place. And to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Can you say, man? This idea of just getting blessings and getting miracles and getting healings without seeking righteousness. The only way true revival is you're seeking righteousness. How many know true revival involves righteousness? People wanting to be right with God, wanting it bad enough to seek Him until He come and rain righteousness upon us. That means He comes with His approval. He comes with His embrace. He comes with His smile. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and give thee what? The tension is gone between us and God and give you peace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, peace, the peace of God begins with peace with God. Can you say amen? And righteousness causes that to happen. It's not sinless perfection. But what pleases God so much is that you're seeking to be right. And when you find yourself wrong, you get down on your knees and come clean and say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. God said, you're right with me. And the person that you ask forgiveness may never forgive you, but that's okay because God has forgiven you. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies us. Yea, it's Christ that died so it could happen. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see people stimulated to seek more. And I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. But in order for that to be meaningful in our life, even that, we need righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. Yes. Sin is a reproach to any people, and that includes God's people and God's nation. Can you say, when Israel's right with God, you can't touch them. Nothing can harm them. Nothing can overwhelm them or overcome them. God stands up and fights their battles. When they're wrong with Him, their enemies prevail 100% of the time. In fact, God allows their enemies to prevail. To hurt them, harm them, punish them. No, to bring them back so He can keep them. Can you say amen? If the prodigal son hadn't come to naught, he would have never come to want. And if he never came to want, he would have never went back to his father's house. But when he came to naught and came to want, guess where he headed? Home. Did God allow him to come to naught and want to hurt him? No, to get him back where he could keep him safe. Oh, somebody give God glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God's not out to get you, but He is out to get you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? He don't want to get you for your sin. He wants to deliver you from that and keep you. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Can you say amen? Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. That's the key. The Old Testament says, seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Noah, amen, a preacher of righteousness found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you say amen? If the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? Amen. Righteous is not sinless perfection. First time I saw that word as a new Christian, I thought that's when I arrive at the place of sinless perfection. That's when by my own holiness I can stand on God's holy hill. Can you say, man, I can't do it. You can't do it. I tried to ascend that hill. Kept sliding back down. It's called backsliding. And I don't mean going back into the world, back into sin. I mean going back into to envy. Amen. I wish I had what he had. Or going back into jealousy. I don't like the fact that God is using her like that, not using me that way. Or pride. Boy, look what I did. I gave 3 messages today and everybody stopped and listened to me do it. Hallelujah. God really used me today. Can you say amen? You keep sliding back, that old flesh, and you realize that you're not perfect, and you do need to bow before Him. You do need times of cleansing. No one is above an altar. No one is above repenting. The preacher needs that before he preaches to you. And sometimes after he preaches to you. Amen? I have preached myself into an altar before. I've had to go home and say, Lord, I just preached something that I know is right, but I want it working in me. I've got to have it working in me. Amen. How can I be an example to the flock if it don't work in me? And don't it feel bad when you fail, when maybe you get angry and you vent that anger and you realize, you know, that's not pleasing to God. That is not representative of His kingdom. I blurted all that junk out. I'm not just talking about cuss words. I'm just talking about the whole attitude. I have said things before that I would say over again, and I stand behind. But I wouldn't say it in the same spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've got the best of an argument before in the wrong spirit and still had to repent. Even though I was right biblically and scripturally about what I was arguing about, but I was so upset over it, I said it in the wrong spirit. Speak the truth. Say it with me again. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. See, it's one thing to speak the truth just to win the argument, even if you say it's for the Lord when really it's for you. Because if it's really for the Lord, you speak it in love. Amen? I've won arguments before. Biblically, I knew, oh, I got a scripture I'm going to lay on them. Yeah, I got them. And I enjoyed it too much. And I had to go before God and say, Lord, I didn't show Your love while telling Him that truth, even though that truth remains true. I didn't do it in Your spirit, not in the spirit of Jesus, not in the spirit of God. Can you say amen? And I want to maintain that. I want to stand firm on what is true, but I want to speak it. And let, just like the prodigal son, I'll tell anybody in this room today and look you in the eye and preach it without batting an eye. If you're living in sin and rebellion, you're headed for destruction. You're headed for serious trouble. But I want you to know that trouble is not because God is trying to punish you. It's because He's trying to deliver you from the one who wants to hurt you and harm you, from the real enemy of your soul. Can you say amen? And whatever turns you back toward the Father's house is a good thing. Can you say amen? Because it brought you home. It brought you home. Most people, the majority of people, don't come to Jesus because they hear a message of His love and they say, anyone this wonderful, I'm going to devote my whole life to Him and serve Him. Most people, it takes something to give them the realization of how bad they need Him. Most people have to go through some kind of a crisis to turn to the Lord. Amen. We had a man in this city who was president of Full Gospel Businessmen's, and he was such a wonderful man of God. Amen. It just seemed like he'd been Christian all his life. I can't imagine him anything but Christian. Because of his great love for the Lord, Brother Taylor, Brother Rube Taylor. He used to check out through my mother's line. She used to work at the Penny Saver years and years ago, worked for Winn-Dixie for years till my stepdad talked about a union to the truck drivers and they fired both of them. But anyway, that was a long time ago. But if my name wasn't different from hers because of her remarriage, they would have got me too back then. Probably would have been a good thing. Anyway, God was good and gracious in spite of it all. But he would come through her line and he was such a witness to her because of his demeanor. But you know where he came to God? He came to God convicted of a crime in a jail cell. And in that jail cell, amen, kind of coming to having to deal with the reality of his own personal soul and his life, that's where he found Jesus. Can you say amen? And you'd never dream that he had been in that kind of circumstance. He just looked like one of those people that has just lived this way his whole life. But the crisis turned him around. The chastening of the Lord is an act of love. And I said it last week and I saw some people squirm, so let's just see how many squirm again. If you be without chastisement, if you're living in open rebellion and sin and there's no chastisement, you do not belong to God. You can't be His. It's impossible. You can claim Him all you want to, but you do not belong to Him. Amen? Dear children, faint not, Paul said, when you are chastened of Him. For the Lord chastens every, without exception, every son that He loves. Everybody say that He loves. Oh, I want to be right with God. I want righteousness. I'm hungry for righteousness. When I know I'm right with God, I'm bold in battle. Everybody say bold in battle. Because I know God is truly for me. And that's the key to victory, is not who's against you. It's who's for you. Can you say, man? It's not how hopelessly outnumbered you are. It's whether or not God is going to stand up and fight for you. Israel was never the majority in any battle they ever fought. They were always hopelessly outnumbered. But when they were right with God, they never lost a battle. He sent angels. He worked miracles. He opened Red Seas and closed them back on them, on their enemies. He rained fire out of heaven and hailstones and oh my God, whatever it took, He did it. He literally told them in love when they were right with Him, I gave men for you. That means I literally, amen, destroyed armies so that you could live unscathed and untouched and I could keep my covenant. Can you say amen? God doesn't take taking of life lightly, even when it's a heathen pagan life, amen, of an arch enemy of His people. It still broke His heart to have to see that carnage, amen. But He did it, amen, for their sake. I gave men for you. Can you say amen? He said to national Israel. Wow. If you be without chastisement, you are a bastard and not a son. You cannot claim God as your father. He does not acknowledge you as His child. I can go out and sin. I have a free will. I choose not to, but I could choose to. And by the way, I'm choosing not to because of my love for Him, not my dread of Him. But I'm going to tell you something. Should that wane, and I find myself out here, if I'd been out in a nightclub last night, and I'd been out with some other woman last night and told my wife I was working late, and I come in here today, amen. It's not just that I couldn't enter into the presence of God in here. You know what it is? I would have this understanding that something is going to happen to me. Because I'm really His child. Something's going to happen to me. I'm not going to just come and play church. And if you can come and play church and nothing happens to you, you're not His child. You die today, you're gone. Amen? Because He chastens how many that He loves. How many gets chastened? How many? Are there any exception, any exemption? Every son. And He scourges every son that He receives. I mean, that's a scourge. The scourge is what they did to Jesus when they put Him over the whipping post. That was called scourging Him. I mean, it's a heinous punishment. Noah sins, where does he end up? I mean, Noah rebels, where does he end up? In God's permissive will, is God saying, well, I know you didn't want to go down there, and I really don't blame you. It's really rough down there, but Jesus loves you, buddy. It's going to be all right. Remember the old country song? Amen. Going out and just sinning to the limit, but when you get home, you say this little itsy-bitsy prayer of repentance because you know you're going to go out and do the same thing. You don't regard Jesus as Lord. But me and Jesus got our own thing going. No, nobody's exception to this. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. See, here's the deal I have with Jesus. I'm going to go sin, and when I get a little bit of fear come here and there, and maybe my soul, think about my soul, I'm going to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. So I can go sin again and won't have to bear the burden of guilt and shame and conviction. He chastens every son that He loves. Every, without exception, without exception, without exception, without exception. Amen. I have been chastened of the Lord. How'd you know it was the Lord? Because there was love with it. But I understood I'm in this trouble because of something I chose. And the way out of it is to get right with Him. And getting right with Him means I turn from my sin, I turn to Him. And He said, if you return to me, what's He going to do? I'll return. Oh, when God returned to Israel, did anybody notice when they were right with God? Did they notice when they were right with God? What did they say when they were right with God? When God returns, do we live a lackluster, helpless life, subject to everything everybody else is without God's help? No. The deliverer comes with healing in His wings. Somebody give God praise in this room today. Hallelujah. How can you teach faith without righteousness? How can we just teach, amen, sending money and God will solve your problems without bowing before Him and saying, Jesus, from the heart, Jesus is Lord. Not just Lord over my circumstance, but Lord over me. Can you say amen? God is so gracious today. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We should live righteously and godly in this present world. That's what grace teaches us. It doesn't teach us that we can sin with impunity. Amen? So if you're a child of God and you're sinning, you're going to be chastened. And when you are, Bible said, don't faint. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not doing it because he's enraged at you. He's angry at sin, but he loves you and wants you to be restored. Can you say, man? And if trouble didn't come, you'd go to hell in your condition. And I'd rather trouble come than go to hell. When I first got saved, I didn't know how sure my footing was. I wasn't as sure-footed as I am today. By the way, I'm not going back today, and I'm not saying that out of some kind of false bravado, some kind of hey, my strength. I'm telling you, I am deathly afraid of living in this world without Him. And I'm even more afraid of going out of this world without Him. Can you say, man, this is a healthy fear, by the way. It's one God says we should have in our life. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, what do? We really try to get people to get right with God and get saved. Can you say, man, get saved and get right with God in that order? Why? Because we know after death there's something going to happen. It's called the judgment. Amen? Amen? And there's no chance then to get right with God. And the message of get right with God is a fallen message. It's get stuff from God. And to get all your needs met from the Lord begins with getting right with Him. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I heard a lady that's a prominent lady now all over America. Her life is falling apart, but she's a prominent lady. Amen. And people still follow her because of her wealth and because of her persuasive voice and all the things that people run after in these days. And she said, I asked the Lord, what does it mean, your righteousness? Well, you know, if you read the Bible, it's pretty clear what His righteousness is. Righteousness is a word that means right wise with God. Say it with me. Right wise with God. Amen? It means right with God. What does God say? What are we doing? Is what we're doing lining up with what He said? I don't mean that we don't stumble. I'm talking about God told me to love my enemies. Am I going to just be in contempt of what He said and say, bless God, I got a right to feel this way, and I don't care what you said. See, you never say it in words. We say it in attitudes and actions.
Yeah.
No one in here, I hope, would ever stand up to God and say, I know you said I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm going to do it. No, we just say, we just go in attitude and action. But we say it in that attitude. We say it in that action. I want to be right with God. That means I'm constantly going before Him and saying, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me to overcome this. I don't want that in my life. And He says, that's pleasing to me. Amen? It's not your perfection that pleases Him. It's your dedication to righteousness. It's your commitment to do the right thing as He instructs you. What is the Word of God for today? Just to make you feel better, build your faith so you can get the stuff you want? No, the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I love that term. It means God breathed. That means this stuff is alive. This is quick and powerful stuff, the Word of God. Can you say amen? What happened when God breathed life into something He formed out of dust? He made man a living soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The same breath that He breathed upon the first Adam, He breathed upon His Word. Hallelujah. And that Word is sustaining that breath of God. Every Scripture is given by inspiration. The actual Greek said every Scripture has God's breath in it. Pneuma, life. And it's profitable for reproof. My flesh needs to be challenged when it's going wrong and justifying it. The Word of God stands up to my flesh. And rebuke. When I'm doing absolute wrong and it's going to give the devil an edge in my life, a place in my life, and I'm walking in unforgiveness and God can't forgive me, and God help me then. Amen. I need the rebuke of the Word of God. I need someone to soundly proclaim, without respect of my feelings, but concern for my soul and my life, and tell me you can't walk in that. You can't justify that. You can't be right with God with that until you get it out. Because I want it out. Amen? I don't want to be destroyed by the devil. I don't want to lose the joy of the Lord. I don't want to lose the peace. Amen? And I don't want the devil getting a place and having an advantage. As Paul said, whoever you forgive, we forgive. Lest Satan should gain an advantage over us. We won't give any place to the devil. Amen? I want that chastisement. Sometimes it comes through the Word. Sometimes nothing else has to happen. If you're sensitive to God, nothing else has to happen. Pretty good theology on the back of a semi-tractor trailer. Had a big cross on the front. I noticed it coming up behind me. Had a big cross on the front with big white lights making up the cross on the front. And then as it passed me by, my headlights caught the big mud flaps on the back. And it was Yosemite Sam standing there with two of his guns out and the big barrels sticking out, you know, made him look 3D, sticking out of the back. And it said, turn or burn. Honey, I don't want to burn. I want to turn. And that's exactly what repentance means. Repentance doesn't mean to pray a few tears and go out and do the same thing. It's a change of mind about your sin. It's turning from sin to God, and that puts us right with Him. And when we make that turn, we're going to struggle. Amen. Sometimes we may stumble, but we get up and we continue to struggle on. Amen. We press against the wind, praise God, against the culture and against the flesh. And God sees that pressing and says, you're right with me. And you can make it. And I'll help you, and you'll be born on eagle's wings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Every time Israel's right with God, nobody can touch them. Amen. If there's no water and they're right with Him, He brings it out of the flinty rock and sees that the river follows them wherever they go. If there's no food, He rains it out of heaven. If an enemy threatens, He sends an angel and kills 185,000 troops. He tells them the battle is not yours any longer. The battle is the Lord's. You shall not have to fight in this battle. Give Him a hand clap of praise. That's worth something. Thought I was going to have to preach to Alice about 5 minutes ago. Hallelujah. We want the sensation. We want the miracle. We want the healing. We want the deliverance. But what we need is to be right with God. And all of that comes with it. Whew. All of that comes with it. What more shall we say to these things? Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? What an unanswerable question. Satan can't answer that. He can't say, oh, I got minions down here. Now, you're dealing with God, old hoss. It don't matter how many minions you have in hell. Can you say, oh, there's fierce armies that will swoop down on you. Well, we got a mighty God that stands up. It don't matter about fierce armies. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If God be for us, what makes God for you? Righteousness. That's what He's looking for. Seek Him till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Why do we have an aversion to that message? Because it includes repentance. It includes talking about sin, that three-letter word that in church is worse than many four-letter words. One pastor shocked his congregation. I do not advocate this. I do not do this. But I understand his desperation to get people beside themselves long enough to think about souls. He said, he quoted the scripture about the harvest fields, and he quoted the scripture about so many people dying without Jesus, and the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he saw that his audience was just thinking about getting out, going home and doing their thing. Amen. He knew they would never become soul winners. They would never see the work of God as a means to that end. They would just see it as some duty, some responsibility, something you come and do on Sunday because people are going to think you're backslid if you don't, something that saps your energy and encroaches on your time and still of a means to an end. If we have a Holy Ghost revival among what's here right now, amen, we won't be like we are. God will change us, and through us will begin to affect other people. Guaranteed. Be a soul winner without trying to be. City on a hill can't be hid, so you don't have to advertise. Can you say, Matt? Where were we going? Anybody know where we were going? I'll get there quicker if you tell me. Oh, yeah, the preacher. Yeah, I would have got there, but it'd take more time. I get a lot of help when I say that. So he quoted all those true scriptures And he finally ended up with a statement that got everybody's attention. He said, majority of the people you know on your job and in your public life are on their way to a Christless eternity to be punished forever. We presented hell as just absent from the presence of God, and we present it that way. They'll be somewhere, but they just won't be in His presence. But they'll be, you know, it'll be okay. It won't be as great as it could be. No, the place people go to is not just away from His presence. It's a lake of fire where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. I wish it wasn't, but it is. By the way, God did not prepare that for any human being. It was for the devil and his angels, because they sinned in the pure light of knowledge and revelation, not in the ignorance and darkness of sin. They sinned by a choice made in pure light. They knew who God was. They knew who Jesus was. They knew how wonderful heaven is. And they made a choice. And they are living beings that will be alive forever. You can't kill a spirit. Once you became a living soul, you can never be killed. You can be contained, but you can't be killed. Your spirit can't be consumed. Spirits don't burn in fires. Can you say, man? So God prepared a place for who? The devil and his angels. Not for mankind. Not for mankind. But you know what? It had to have an addition. They had to add on to the place. It had to be expanded. Since it wasn't made for man, it didn't need to be big enough to accommodate, amen, all of the people that are going there. But the Bible said, hell hath enlarged itself to contain the nations that turn from God. So this pastor blatantly said, because he saw no one really cared about that. No one really sees what we're doing here this morning as a means to an end. This message right here could go on radio and could find a heart that can be saved and escape that terrible destiny. And you are part of it. Do you think it's worth your time? Your energy? Your money? He said, most of the people that you interact with on a daily basis are going to be lost in that place for all eternity. And he said, and what's more, most of you sitting in this room don't give up. And he used the expletive. And you know, that got their attention. Everybody become wide-eyed because he used a four-letter word. Concern about souls. No one ever came wide-eyed when we talked about the destiny of the lost. But when he used that little four-letter word, everybody's eyes come open. The fact that we are fruitless in terms of soul winning didn't strike anybody. But when he said the four-letter word, that struck everybody. Everybody took a self-righteous attitude. I don't use expletives. I'm dependent on the Holy Ghost. Because if you have to start using expletives to get people's attention, you're not depending on the Holy Spirit. Can you say, man, I know without Him there's nothing I can say, no shock or thing I can say that's going to change anything. But honey, we need a revival. It needs to start with us individually. Amen. And collectively. Can you say, man, I believe you care about souls. I believe if somebody come through that door with, like in Sulphur Springs, people would come through that door and someone would have lice. And I ministered to people that had active TB. And we interacted with people and loved them. Amen. We prayed sometimes, Lord, bless this fellow. Help him to come to you. Amen. But we prayed the prayer and we showed the love, didn't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. And listen to me. Amen. I believe that God wants us to begin to seek righteousness, and not just us, but His body, the body of Christ. This message is not just for us, it's for the church. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has something to say to the church. And it's not about this material world. Amen. He said, I want you to forget about that. Take ye no thought. That means don't buy a tape set on it. Hello? How many understand take no thought doesn't mean you listen to 15 tapes on how to get it? Take ye no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Your Father knows what you have need of. Amen. Go out and look at a lily sometimes. It don't toil or spin, but Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed with one of these. If he clothes the lilies of the field, he'll clothe you. Not because you get 15 steps of how to get God to fill your closet with designer suits. Can you say amen? No, he'll clothe you. And what does he clothe us with initially before he gives us anything else? Amen. Job said, I put on righteousness. Woo! And it clothed me. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I can stand before God in this robe of righteousness because it ain't my robe woven by my good intentions and good works. Amen. It's His robe granted to me through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's His righteousness. And what happens when we get it? Have you got on your shouting shoes? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith God. When they're right with me, I defend them so they don't have to fear anything. Someone said, fear God and you need fear nothing else. So why doesn't the church want to be right with God? Because it involves repentance and the three-letter word that's more shocking than the four-letter word. Somebody want to know what it is? When you say sin, sin. Well, we've all sinned and come short. Amen? We're all sinners by nature. The old nature has a bent towards sin. The new nature has a bent toward righteousness. So there's a law now in my members. Amen. The flesh, where that old sin nature is, and the spirit, where that righteous nature is, are in conflict. Can you say amen? So Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. I'm strong enough spiritually to subdue the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. And when the flesh gets an edge on me, he sends a trial to help me get back to my spiritual center and strength. Lest I be... See, God using him like that, the flesh has a hard time dealing with the glory that men give you when God uses you. And some people fail that miserably. Paul was standing on Mars Hill preaching, and the anointing came. The manifest presence of God came. Amen. And those people that are used to serving many gods, polytheism. Amen. They stood at the foot of Mars Hill listening to this man preach. And they saw the power that was coming through this message. And this man, I don't know if miracles were transpiring, what was happening. But they said, the gods have come down to us in the form of men. And Paul recognized right then was the time. Not after the fact, but while it was happening. Amen. He opened his garment, showed them his bare chest and said, I'm a man like you are. Don't you give me one bit of the glory for what you see happening here today. Amen. Give God the glory for it. Can you say amen? And he said, you know something? But if it happens over and over and over and miracles happen and healings happen because of the manifest presence of God. Amen. He said, there was given to me an emissary from Satan to do what? To buffet me. Not break me, but buffet me. There's a difference in breaking and buffeting. Actually, we're better able to sustain a tropical storm. And particularly the island nations, because most of the trees in island nations are what kind? Coconut palms, banana. The palms, the trees that are soft wood. Buffet means that 90 mile an hour wind comes. And what happens to the palm tree? You can see it in some of the... If they want to film the force of the wind, they don't pick an oak tree on CNN. They send this guy in a raincoat out looking for bad weather so he can say, I want to show you how bad it really is. Where's me a palm tree? If he's anywhere where there's a... What happens when a palm tree is hit by a wind like that? Sometimes it'll bend that far. But it ain't broke, honey. And when the storm's over, he's back up. Another gust comes. Are you with me? Honey, I've been down here. Oh, but look at here. Look at here. What happens when the wind quits blowing? And the wind will quit blowing. See, Christians outlast their storms. Storms never outlast Christians. There was an emissary, and God said, you can buffet him, but you can't break him. Amen. Why can't you break him? Because, amen, he can take this. He's equal to anything through Christ who strengthens him. And he bounces back. That was Paul. He said, I was beat up. Oh, come on. Listen, are you ready for an illustrated message in our clothes today? But this is beautiful to me. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I was beaten with rods on 3 occasions. I was given the cat of nine tails, 39 stripes on 5 occasions. I was stoned and left for dead. Amen. Do you see the buffeting in his life? Can you say amen? I was shipwrecked. I was in the deep for a day and a night. I was among false brethren. But none of these things moved me. Hallelujah. No matter which way the wind blows or how hard. Hallelujah. Yea, I am with thee in trouble. I am with thee in trial. I am with thee in testings. I am with thee in buffetings. And yea, when you look to me in the time of trouble, the real strength comes. The real grace sustains thee. The real power that took the apostles through is now upon you and available to you, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise. He said, all of these incidents were Satan inspired to destroy and break me. They told him, said, bonds and afflictions await you at Jerusalem. He said, but God is sending me there, and because he's going to be with me, none of these things move me. Hallelujah. He said, there was given me an emissary from Satan to buffet me, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations. How many shipwreck ministries have you seen that for a season were used mightily of God? Jimmy Swaggart said it himself before his fall. Thank God he's doing what he needs to do right now. But before his fall, you know what he said? He said there were many good ministers that I could have went to, and counselors and people that I knew were men of integrity that I could have confessed my sin to and asked them to help me to be delivered from it. But he said, I didn't, because I was Jimmy Swagger. You know what that meant? They will think less of me. They look to me for strength. They look to me for leadership. They look to me to be the godly man. And if I confess that I'm not all they think I am, then I won't have that place anymore, that pedestal place. Honey, it's not the pedestal place God wants us to have. Can you say amen? Humble yourself under the... If he had done that, his sin may have never become public. Amen. It have never become that Satan used to hurt and to do such damage so many years ago. Amen. And listen, amen. Was he chastened? Yes, he was, sorely. But did it bring him back to a relationship with Christ? Yes, it did. Thank God it did. We are cast down, but not forsaken. Amen. Persecuted, but not destroyed. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Amen. That the glory may go to God and not us when the victories come. Yes. Yes. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The key to the Christian life is to be buffeted without breaking. Not to stand tall in ourselves. You know who's going to hurt in a hurricane? If it hits the Carolinas. Because they don't have the palm trees. Just on the beach area. When it moves inland in the Carolinas, they got hardwood trees. And what's going to happen to those trees? They're going to snap. They're going to snap. It's not you in your best intention saying, I'm going to do this. It's you trusting Christ for everything. Bending, but not breaking. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to overcome this thing. And you snap right back. You're right with God. He stands up for you. And if God be for us, no weapon, No weapon. No weapon. Isn't that a good feeling? No, say it with me this morning. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage, your birthright as a child of God, a covenant child of God. Can you say amen? And when those victories come, who gets the glory? 100%. Not your anointing, not your faith. He's the giver of the anointing. Faith, He's the author and finisher of faith. Can you, if you have faith, it's because of Him. Amen? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, I'm persuaded that nothing. You see all the buffeting I've been through, but I'm persuaded that nothing. Death, their life, things present, things to come. Amen. Angels or anything else will ever separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior that we serve today. Praise God. How many people in this room today, without us going any further, can acknowledge a need to seek His righteousness again? We all know how to seek His help, His healing, His deliverance, or whatever those are. How about His righteousness? I'm telling you, when we get that right, everything else is ours. Your Father knows what you have need of. Seek the kingdom. Let me define kingdom, get this lady evangelist straightened out. I'll never straighten her out. She's too big and people give her too much power and influence. They don't even know what the Bible says. They only know what she says. Here's what she said about the kingdom of God. She said, you know what that means? It means God's method of doing things. And then she began to give these faith formula for getting things from God. That righteousness now is His righteousness is His method of doing things. You find out how to get things that you need from God. And here's the methodology of that. You know, then you plant your seed into her ministry because you got to find good ground. And of course, no one else is good ground but that ministry. Can you say, man, helping the poor, God won't bless you for that. But if you give to someone who's rich and opulent, you'll get it for that. No one's ever said, you know, something, it don't matter where you send it here or not, but if you go out and sow, if you go out and sow liberally, you'll reap liberally. If you're feeding hungry kids in Haiti, God's going to bless. No, and I understand there's a church part of this that has to come into it. If you muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, guess what? The ox is going to die and he can't tread out the corn no more. If the priests are having to work in the fields because the people are not giving to the ministry, amen. Systematic giving is a New Testament contract. Amen. At the first of the week, lay in what you're going to give. Set it aside. Sanctify it for the Lord's work. Did it say that to the New Testament church? Amen. Did it say that to the New Testament church? Is it in your Bible? Set it aside. Otherwise, what's going to happen? They're all going to have to go out here and use all the energy and time that we could all be part. You know what I'm saying? That's why I teach systematic giving. Forget Old Testament, this is nothing to do with the Old Testament. Everything to do with the New Testament and what they did and what every church that's thriving does without exception. Amen? And every church that's being blessed. Wow. Just thought I'd run that by you. Amen? Because it's all part of what we're trying to achieve to be right with God. Jesus is worth something. In fact, He's worth everything. And the little bit that we are asked to give. And I'm not talking about a percentage now. I'm talking about setting aside based on our value of His work and His servants and His house and His people and the lost that we're trying to reach. What's it worth? What's it worth? What are our values? Show me your checkbook. I'll show you your values. Look in mine. I'll see my own mirrored back to me. Amen? Because that tells the real story. Not what you say, not what I say. It's what we do as stewards that tell you where our values are. Amen? Amen? Why spend you money for that that is not bread? Oh, God help us today. God help us today. So she says, it's this method of doing things. It's His method of doing things. Is that righteousness biblically? No, it's being right with God. It's being right with God. It's being right with God. How do you get right with God? You get real with God to begin with. you search your heart. Say, is Jesus the Lord of my life? Is His work something I am totally committed to? Right here today, this message may end up on radio going to touch hearts. Is it worth us being here for that purpose? Have you been blessed because of this ministry? Has anything been sown into you that is helping you in your spiritual life? Have you been encouraged ever because we come here and minister? You ever been encouraged? Do you know a little more about the Bible or a little more about Jesus because of what we teach and preach here? Has it helped you? Is it worth the door staying open? Amen. It's got to be worth it to you for it to be worth it to me. Because if it isn't worth it to you, what can I do? You've got to show that worth. And thank God for those of you who do over and over again. But we're living in the last day, and the time is running very short. And we need to get it right. We need to pray, every one of us, till He come and reign righteousness on us. Get right with God. Whatever needs undoing, make up your mind. I'm not going to go that route anymore. Whatever needs doing, make up your mind. I'm going to start doing that. And I'm going to undo it and do it only by the grace and help and strength that Jesus gives me. And by the way, He'll give you what you need if you want to be right with Him. He'll give you what you need to forgive. He'll give you the grace to overcome. Whatever, the strength to bear up, whatever it takes, He'll grant it. Heaven will line up behind you. And when heaven lines up behind you because you're lining up with God, you can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? I'm going to ask a very pointed question as we close this service. I know people personally that have attended great crusades and services, but they haven't sought to be right with God. On a personal level, they haven't sought that. Because the primary thing in that service wasn't getting right with God. It was getting something you need from God. Jesus said the way to get what you need from Him is to get right with Him. To seek His kingdom, which means the rule and the domain of a king. It means His lordship. It's letting Christ master you, not just getting an anointing to take care of your need while you don't deal with the issue of who is the master of your soul. God doesn't want a healing campaign that just gets people healed. He proved that when a man came to Him for healing, told him to go dip in Jordan. He said, you get rid of that pride. You get this thing that I detest and that I'm forced to resist. I can't just grant you healing. Amen. I want to deal with something within, and the healing is going to be there. But He addressed the inward spiritual need before the healing of the body, didn't He? God didn't just say, here, happy to do it, go your way. No, He said, get rid of that pride. Go down into Jordan like a servant and dip in the muddy old water and do it the prescribed amount of time. Amen? Dip 7 times. And the man began to balk because of his pride. And that's what God wanted to break in him before He could heal him. God never just deals with the superficial. God never just deals with the exterior. The axe is always laid to the root. Can you say amen? It's easier to get in a healing line and try to use our faith than it is to get at an altar and get right with God. And that little 3-letter word keeps coming up. Sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness will exalt a whole nation. And one time, years ago, America was exalted. The benefits and blessings we're enjoying today is because God exalted this nation. Because on every coin and piece of currency, it said, in God we trust. When we saluted our flag, we acknowledged one nation under whose lordship and leadership. Republican, Democrat, no. One nation. There were political parties, but initially there was a national conscience that said, God has made us great. We're one nation under God. indivisible, for with liberty and justice for all. Some people don't want to wear flags, salute, cover. I don't even want to go there. I can't even go there. You don't get me started. Amen. Even when I was a kid, I felt honored to lay my hand over my heart, because this is my nation. This is America. God bless America. Say it with me. God bless America. Only way that can happen, amen, is not a message that doesn't involve repentance and seeking righteousness called how to get stuff from God. That's not the message that will exalt this nation. It's not the one that did it initially. Amen. It's when we repent of our sin and we decide to walk in His ways. He wants that for you and me today. He's defended me. He's sustained me. He's helped me. His grace and mercy has borne me up on eagle's wings. Hallelujah. I still can't fly, but I can lay on Him as He bears me up. Hallelujah. I desire to bless my people and defend them, to protect them and provide for them, to be a father unto you, that the nations of the world may know that you are my sons and my daughters, and that I am not ashamed to be called your God, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah! 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 Give me the oil of your Spirit. Flow over me. Cover me. Praise God. How many in this room have room in your life for more righteousness? Amen. See, that's why I love you. That's why God has me right here. Hallelujah. Bringing this message this morning where it will be welcomed and received and can go out of here with the freedom of the anointing that is flowing in this room this morning. Can you say amen? There are churches where this message would not be welcome. It would be kind of falling flat. And what goes out of here, God wants it to not be falling flat. Amen. He wants it to be flowing in the anointing. And the Spirit of God is not grieved today because many hearts in this room have been open to the Holy Spirit. God wants to bless this little congregation. Can you say, man, is there anything that you think that might need to change to be pleasing to the Lord? Is there anything that might need to change to be pleasing to the Lord? Shalaba kisona mamaba le kana mamaba hositi andaraba le kashola baba hositi andaraba le kashola baba. Is there anything that needs to change so our money don't go into bags with holes? Can you say amen? Come on, is there anything that needs to change? Why do we resist making the changes and adjustments that is promised the blessing of the Lord? That very attitude, it's not even the activity initially. It's the attitude that He wants the humility back. He wants the dedication back. He wants us to bow again and be sensitive to His will, His word, and His purpose for our life. He wants to stand up when the enemy comes against us in our behalf. He wants to cover us with the covering of His Spirit. Shela Bakisa, the only safe place there is in this entire world today. Halama Koshanda Dabalite Brosha. And your Father, He said, knows everything else you need. You don't have to sweat all that other stuff. What you eat, drink, wherewith you will be clothed. Your Father knows how to do this. He does it for the lilies. He does it for the fowls of the air. Amen. And if you will use your faith to seek righteousness till He come and rain it upon you, He'll rain everything else you need. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.